And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans and chapter 15. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, God and Father, thank you for your presence and your grace. So help us now that we might have the benefit of being assembled in your presence. And our God, we're going to thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And reminding ourselves as we go back and forth in God's Word, Old Testament and New. So, and keeping in mind that in the context of chapter 15 and in verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Why? That we, through patience, bearing up under the load and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And you can do the same in 1 Corinthians 10, etc., etc. So, God has given us His Word, and as believers in this time of grace after the crucifixion, what can we do? We can receive the Lord as our Savior, and in one moment we pass from death unto life. And the Spirit of God brings to us instantly all the benefits that Christ has made possible for us. We don't have to wait 4 seconds. The minute the Spirit of God, you get saved, you have, barring none, barring nothing, you have every benefit that God forever is going to give you and do for you. Now, so when we come to the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, God is raising up a nation, Israel. In the process of doing it, to help them understand that relationship that they have to God, which we have more than they ever have at that in this point in their life, as in their history, that what we have and instantly, they have to go through the process to learn it. And they don't learn very well. But in their going through the process, we learn a lot. That's why God has given us His Word, so that we can go back and understand. We can get receive Christ and say, boy, I just did it. You're right. We can understand what happens. How do we exercise our relationship to God? Old Testament helps us. Israel helps us. Therefore, over to the book of Joshua. And the book of Joshua, if I can, picking up, please. And we share together, just reminding ourselves, in the light of the book of Joshua, we aren't doing it statement by statement, though it's worth doing it. We're just trying to get the movement to chapter 10 again. We were there, and now we want to get there again because our memory isn't always that good. And we have not absorbed all of those pieces that we're going to look at. In other words, without ever opening the book, you've got all the pieces of how Israel was prepared to be the nation, special, prized, privileged before God. Now, so therefore, we are reminding ourselves, and we did that a little bit, so that Israel was raised 430 years in the land of bondage, idolatry, Egypt. And after 430 years, it was time for them to exit. And they had been raised up over 2 million people to exit. from Jacob 70 people to 2 million. Now, in the process, Israel goes and Exodus out of Egypt, and they went, and God, we did all of this, but reminding ourselves, they went, God moved them, put them with the Red Sea on the one side, on this side, mountains on the other side, Egyptians' army coming this way, and here they are. Wow. And God did that. God was going to help them understand that He is an awesome God, and the world around them is going to understand He's an awesome God. Now, so they go and cross the Red Sea. They did that in a marvelous way. God opened the Red Sea up, and the Egyptians tried to get across in the same way, and God closed the Red Sea, and they all drowned. And so therefore, in the process, they died, and God had them in the wilderness. Now, God introduced Himself at Mount Sinai, at Exodus 19:20. He introduced Himself to the nation. The nation only knew Him by way of Moses telling them about God and the 10 plagues. But now they're going to be introduced to Him directly. So they hear God. They literally, in the presence of God at Mount Sinai, they heard Him. They listened up to a point, as you know, and then they had to tell Moses, please tell God not to speak to us anymore. Why? Lest we die. Lest we die. You can hear them. Fear of God's awesome. Now, so having said that, and then they're going to go build the tabernacle, and they're going to go 11 days journey to Kadesh Barnea, straight up north, bottom of the Palestine down there. And they're going to go up in order to take the land. That's the will of God. So they went from bondage to God introduced them, and now they're up there. And of course, you know from Numbers 13, 14, the spies spent 40 days and came back and brought an evil report except for Joshua and Caleb. And they brought a good report, but the people received the bad report. The people only saw what was explained to them, the walled cities that were higher than the heavens, higher than heaven, big walls, double walls, and giants, lots of giants, giant, big chariots of iron. Wow. Armies that were trained, military armies. Wow. They said, we aren't going in there. And they didn't. And so God judged them in Numbers 14. And what did He do? For every year, for every month, every day that they were in the land of spying, exercising, the 12 spies surveying the land of Egypt, for every day they were there, they were to spend a year in the wilderness. So they ended up 38 more years, 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. Now they went from bondage, and they were supposed to go and just discover God's awesome leading and help. But they didn't believe. So God shepherded them, chapter 14 of Numbers. He shepherded them, kept them in a miraculous way. And we shared that. They never, thousands of animals and a couple of million people and food and water. God, He never, they had everything. Their clothes never wore out. The shoes never wore out. Everything. They never got sick. They had everything. God just miraculously kept them. Awesome. Yep. But that isn't God's way to do that. Not that way, and not under those conditions, because in Egypt they're in bondage. In the wilderness they're in unbelief, and therefore neither are good. So God didn't mean them to be in the wilderness, except their unbelief caused them to be there. So now, in Joshua, they cross the Jordan, and they have to cross the Jordan. And in getting ready to cross the Jordan, they're going to go in chapter 3 of Joshua. And in chapter 3 of Joshua, as you would know, in verse 1, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed, from Shittim and came to Jordan. And all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. So here they are on this side, on the other side of Jordan. They go on the other side. They have to come this way. They're on this side of Jordan, way over there. And they're all there, and they have to stay there. God doesn't just do it. He wants them now to spend 3 days and contemplate where they were. Here's the Jordan River, and there's the enemy, and there's the land. Cross the river. So, in verse 2, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, giving their announcements, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. In other words, and we remember what we shared together and reminding ourselves, in the wilderness for 40 years, God led them. The Ark of the Covenant was carried by the priest, etc. And they had, wherever the Ark went, that's where they went. And the Ark in the middle of the tabernacle, how did you know the Ark was in the middle of the tabernacle? A cloud by day covering that hole in the heat of the day. Here's a cloud covering this huge area. And come what? At night, cool. The heat of the day, I should say. And then the cool of the night, the fire. How did you know the Ark was in there? The cloud by day and the fire by night. And thus God taught them, as we read in Exodus chapter 40, and they went every time the ark went at 2 o'clock in the morning, or at 10 o'clock in the after 10 o'clock in the morning, or two in the middle of the night, wherever the ark went, they learned when the ark moved, when the cloud, God moved them, and they learned to what? Obey God. When God says, get up, fix your tent, and follow me. And they did that for 38 years. They did that. Wow. So they're really geared to it. And God is waiting for the 600,000 plus men that didn't believe to die. So it isn't a time that they're really with it. No, they're there. They're there, as we'll see in a little bit here, to remind ourselves. They're there. So, and they're getting ready to cross the Jordan. Therefore, as you know, verse 4, and there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, and come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. You never learned this in Egypt. You never got this in the wilderness. You're going to learn a whole new way, my way that I have for you, to be the nation, to show all the nations God's awesome person. And I'm going to show you a whole new way. And therefore, you've never been this way. We had bondage. We had all the blessings, water, food, health, You never went this way. It's a new way. It's my way. I want to have you be a testimony to the nations. And you're going to have to be a nation, a normal nation, using us. We have to be just ordinary humans. And all of us are not extraordinary. We're ordinary humans. And God saves us. All the people like the dead sticks, the dead. And God saves you. Saves you to be a testimony to all the people who are at work, at school, at home, as you go into the grocery store, to be a testimony. And the angels look, the good guys and the bad guys, and what do? The angels look, and there's a believer, and there's unsaved. God, they're spotting. Then it's all of it busy, 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 busy. All of it's there. So what are we doing, God? So God, that's for us. For Israel, they had to understand they're going to be a nation like that, not a people like we are a body, the body of Christ. So therefore, God, we've never passed this way before. It's all brand new. There's no more cloud, no more fire. Nope, there's just the ark. The Red Sea buried the army and the Jordan River. What are we going to do there? Well, we're going to go, God said, I'm going to help you. And therefore, as you know, in crossing the Jordan, as they do, over if they can. And by the way, God always picks the wonderful times to do what he does. And therefore, chapter 3 and verse 15. And as they that bear the ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the on the very edge of the river of the water. For the Jordan overflowing all the banks all the time of harvest. Be quiet. You got the idea. It overflowed the banks. That's what it did. Overflowed. Flood time. Like the Connecticut River overflowing the banks. Like the thing in Texas overflowing. God picked the time, the worst time to ever consider getting across the Jordan. The worst time to do it. God picked that time. And then what did he do? And is saying it, as you know, God went and did what? Well, he opened the Jordan River. I'll read it. Verse 4. It came to pass when all the people were passed over the Jordan, and before that, I got to go back. I didn't mean to chapter 13, chapter 3, as you know, and God's going to go and do what he does. And at verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap. Just think of the Red Sea opening up. So that both sides, two big walls of water in that great Red Sea. And now what are we going to do to the Jordan River coming down from the Sea of Galilee, coming down to the Dead Sea? What are we going to do with that river that's overflowing? And the river, which verse 16, which came down from above, stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam. That is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed. In other words, the water just stopped and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And I did it years ago, but I'm pretty sure, whatever. God stopped the river 25 miles up, stopped the river. So you got... Here's all these people got across the Jordan in Gilgal. And so God just stopped it way up there. In other words, just stopped the water and stayed there. And they went across like the Red Sea on dry ground. On dry ground. No mud, nothing. Dry ground. You did that. We had 3 days to think about it. And then God did it again. We saw it. We saw it with our own eyes. We crossed the Jordan. We actually did. And now, so chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over the Jordan, that the Lord spake and unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet are standing in the middle of the Jordan with the ark. That's what they're holding, the ark. And so all the people, God makes it dry, and the ark is there in the middle. But the ark is now taken out of the Jordan where the ark is. And before that happens, of course, the priest stood for a firm, the 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. In other words, you're going to take 12 stones, always 12. Why you talk about, why do you say 12? There are 12 tribes, one for each tribe, not 2 million rocks. Just 12 rocks. 12 rocks. And they had to get men that could carry them on their shoulder so they weren't pebbles. And they carried them, and they put them in Gilgal, that right on the other side of the Jordan over there. There's Gilgal over there. And they put them there, 12 stones. They piled them neatly, and there they were, a testimony. What were they a testimony to? That the 12 stones, one for each tribe, and the tribe of Judah and Dan or whatever could say to their children, as you see, you can pick it up, in verse 5. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God unto the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what mean ye by these stones? In other words, years go by a little bit, and the stones are there, and they want to know why the stones are there. Why is the memorial there? Why is it there? It's to remind people, the Alamo to the Pearl Harbor. The Alamo, what are the signs for? I assume I don't know that, but I think there's probably a memorial in New York where the towers fell, I would think. Some memorial to remind yourself. Memorial, what's it there for? To remind you. How did we ever get into the land? How do we exercise, why can we exercise this unique relationship to God? Because God took us from Egypt through the wilderness across the Jordan. How did he get across the Jordan? It was to a whole new world, a whole new way of operation that Israel never knew. They're going to be able to trust God personally and work through their relationship to God as an individual and as a unit, as a tribe, as a nation, and that to enjoy God's wonderful working, and all the nations pay attention to Israel and God's wonderful care, so that they're ordinary people now. Israel had an extraordinary 40 years. They didn't die, only the bad guys died. No, they didn't die. And they are now demonstrating God's wonderful care. The God who kept us in the wilderness is the God who we trust. And we have to pray and look to God. And we're just like you. We go to your same God. We live in the same garden. We use the same food. We live in the same, use the same water. Here we are, a testimony. Us humans having to be just like other humans, different, were saved. Wonderfully saved, Israel was to be a testimony to God's wonderful saving grace as a nation, all 12 tribes. Now, and having said that, let's take, that's what those stones mean. And to make sure that you really get it, God said, to understand it, I want you to go and take the 12 guys, and you're going to go in chapter 4, and you're going to go and take the stones, and you're going to take the stones in chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. What are we doing? I want you to take 12 stones from where you are. I want you to take 12 stones and put them in the Jordan. And I'm going to cover them. You won't see the 12 stones. But when you see the 12 stones that are in front of you, you're going to remember there are 12 stones in that Jordan River. And you're going to remember this 12 stones. How did we get across the river? God took us across in a most awesome way. He took us across in a wonderful way to be a wonderful testimony. So whenever you see the 12 stones here, you'll remember the 12 stones in the river, which you can't see. When you came to know the Lord, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, what do we know? God, in your wonderful grace, let's exercise it. You know it. I'm coming right back here, over to Romans, and in chapter 6. And in Romans, in chapter 6, picking up, if I may, remember the stones in the river? Okay. May I go to verse 6, chapter 6, going directly to verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized, placed into, immersed into, remember baptism, water, what do? We go from standing up under the water, a place of death. Death, you can't live under water. No, it's telling you death. And you rise up out of the water, and you walk on the other side, you're a new creature. How did you become new? By death. Christ took you to, think of what we did this morning. Christ took you to the cross and crucified you. Then what did he do? He buried you. He's done. That's what we try to get across. You can't make your old flesh, which is dead wood, it never becomes good wood. Always dead. You know, there's no compromise. There's no halfway house. God's side, I can be a God, and I can be on the other side. No, you can't. You're either, the Lord said it, you're either hot or cold. There is no middle. There is no middle ground. You're either with me or against me. There's no such thing as middle. Well, I do my thing and I trust God and pray and read my book, read the daily bread, all those things. No, you can't do that. That's the flesh. See, we don't understand that. So we want to be able to do that. I do my part here and then I can go home and I'm done, you see. But you can't be done. You can't be done. You're a child of God, live. As a child of God, that's what you're to do. Exercise it. You can't be back in the dead. Why, it's buried. What are you telling the Israelites? There's 12 stones in the bottom of that river. You're dead. You never go back. You never go back to the wilderness. You never go back to Egypt. You're finished. No more. We're done. The only way forward is forward. And you either go forward in a way that you enjoy it, or you go and you reap what you sow. So, having said that, We got the, here we are. I meant to read it in Romans 6. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, identification, water, unto death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Reason 4. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Sliding down to verse 11. Likewise, reckon, calculate, compute. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead. The stones are in the river. Indeed, unto sin, you're done. You don't dig up the stones. You don't look at the stones. It's all finished. You're done with them. Done with them. You're done. The sticks, I took care of them. I saved you. I took care of it. You got your old nature. You never get rid of it, as we shared together. You got to carry it like we shared. You got an old nature, and it just never goes away till God takes you from this body, which cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's wonderful, wonderful what? Working. So what are we going to do? The 12 stones. The 12 stones have an awesome message. You want to be able to tell your children, why am I saved? Why are you saved? You want to know why you're saved and be able to communicate it. Otherwise, you could be in a home for all the years and no one ever told you how to be saved. No one ever told you anything. That happens all too often. But, so God, what are we going to do? We're going to reckon. You're going to ask. You're going to ask why we pray. Why do we have the Bible? Why do we have the Bible on the table? Why do we do what we do? Because we're Christians. We're believers. And everyone in that house ought to know we're believers. We're believers. That's what we are. And believers, we're children of God. God's our Father. He's in charge. Now, having said that little bit, as you're thinking, understanding that, I hope, a little bit, chapter 4. So now, having did that, so they're going to go and have that wonderful sign, and God's going to go and show his wonderful, wonderful leading and his wonderful, wonderful grace in all that he does. So here's the stones, and here they are, and the stones are there to point to God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful working. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the process, in thinking of that, go with me over, if I can, chapter 5. And chapter 5, picking up, please, in thought. And you will note. And in chapter 5, picking up, if I can, right in chapter 5, and in verse 1, 5 and 1, in the process. And it came to pass, I'm now going to do something before that. Thank you. Over chapter 2. Chapter 2. I didn't mean to jump that fast in doing it. So, in chapter 2, if I may, you will remember now, they cross the Jordan, and they're going to go and check out Jericho before they take the city, you remember. Now, chapter 2, and the two spies are checking out the city of Jericho for Joshua, and in the process, chapter 2, are picking up the woman that they stay with, that gives them favor and doesn't turn them in. Joshua 2, verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For you have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and that and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, and Jordan, other side of Jordan, Sihon, Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God is the God of heaven above and earth beneath. And what did she tell them? 40 years ago, when you crossed the Red Sea, we knew you were going to win. And we've been waiting 40 years and wondering why you haven't won. Because you spent 40 years in the wilderness. God had given the victory the minute they crossed the Red Sea. God had given it. And it isn't, they aren't honoring Israel for the Red Sea, for the Jordan River. They aren't honoring Israel. They're honoring the God of Israel. It's the God of Israel that opened that Red Sea. It's the God of Israel that made dry the River Jordan. It is the God of Israel. That's, and where were you? We were all done. All done. Keep going. Chapter 4. Again. Chapter 4, if I may. And verse 22. Then you shall let your children know, saying, remember now the 12 stones, verse 20, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, and did Jordan pitch at Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall come, ask their fathers in time to come, what mean these stones? Again, he's saying it, driving home the point. Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord our God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God, as the Lord your God did so to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. And that all, verse 24, reason that all the people of the earth, not just the Egyptians, not just the Philistines, the Jebusites, no, everyone know. It's interesting, the Red Sea and all of that in histories, different histories of the world where you find it interesting. Then what? They all know. God said what I did. Everyone take note, and Israel especially, take note in what I have done. Why? Verse 24, that you might fear the Lord your God forever, that you might fear him forever. Wow, that's what I want. I want them to know there's I'm an awesome God, and I do what I do. And you better understand the credit. The glory belongs to God, not to Israel. The saving grace belongs to God that saves us. Belongs to God. That's why you're saved. God gets all the credit. All the credit. Our time is gone. Thank you. We can go a little longer and it'll stop raining. I got it. What can I tell you? Or we could. Anyway, what can I tell you? Yeah, I'd sit tight for a minute. That's what I do. But I won't do it. Tempted to do it. But some of you who don't care about the rain or anything, you know, what can I tell you? So, Our God and Father, we thank you for your word, your grace, and what you're doing, God, that we might understand. God, you've already given the victory before we ever were born. And when we received you as our Savior, God, we already ended up holding the victory. You are the victory. You're God. You're the God who's able to save us to the uttermost. And our God, we thank you very, very, very much. God, thanks a lot. God, thank you for the rain and the thousands and thousands and millions of drops of water. God, they can't even be compared to your thoughts, like the sand of the sea about us. God, it's beyond our little old mind, at least mine, to understand how you could possibly think and understand and know such awesome thoughts about us that transcend the space and all of time. God, to be able to be loved with that kind of love, that kind of understanding, you want us to enjoy your awesome person forever. And it will take forever for us to enjoy your awesome person, endless, endless as the drops of rain. God, thanks a lot. Help us in every way to understand a little bit. And our God, we're going to thank you for your saving grace. In Christ's name, amen.